Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hello, America. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I would be very happy to have you. If you will please, please text the word ARMY to 33777. You will get back a link. If you click that link, you can put in your name, email, and zip code. You can put in your phone number if you want. We can text message you, but not necessary. Just your name, email, and your zip code. And that way, as we go around the country, we start doing our events around the country, we'll be able to make it easy to be able to reach out to you, let you know when we're in your area. And also, if there's a member of Congress we need you to be nice or mean to, we'll be able to target. Now, lay the landscape here for you right now. We got 270 electoral college votes needed to win this election that is now about 78 days away. The swing states remain, based on the polling, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. North Carolina, the Democrats believe they can put it in play. I do not believe the Democrats can put North Carolina in play. I think it will be Republican. I think that Georgia will be Republican. And I think Nevada will be Republican. And that gives 257 electoral college votes to the GOP. If Donald Trump wins Arizona, he's at 268, and he needs to only win one of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I personally believe that the Democrats will probably win Pennsylvania because they have a much better ground game than the GOP. One of the things, even here in Georgia, is a concern is that the Trump campaign is relying on volunteers. Now, you got to understand this. I mean no disrespect to those of you who are volunteers for a presidential campaign. In fact, I think if you are concerned about the direction of the country, you should volunteer. If you can't be a poll worker for your local board of elections, you should be a poll watcher for your political party. Now, what is a poll worker and what's a poll watcher? The poll worker is the person who works the polls for the board of elections. They check people in. They make sure people's ballots are processed properly. They check people out. They hand people the voter cards. They check you off the voter roll. They work for the county. They're nonpartisan. A lot of younger Democrats have started signing up to volunteer at the polls, and a lot of the older people who work in the polls happen to be right-leaning, but they're in their 70s and 80s. They're retiring, and the younger people who are stepping up tend to be more progressive. If you want to keep faith in the polls, you need to go sign up to be a poll worker. Call your local board of elections. Ask if you can. In many cases, by this point, they'll say, we got enough people. If that's the case, call your local Republican Party or Democratic Party if you're a Democrat, hate listening, and say you want to be a poll watcher. And what the poll watchers do is they are trained to make sure that the poll workers are doing their job properly, and they have lawyers they can call at any time to say, there's a problem at my polling location, I need backup. And the lawyers can file an injunction, they can investigate, they can do all these things. Every single political party needs watchers. For every precinct, you should have multiple watchers. The rules vary state by state, but generally every polling precinct gets a handful of Democrat and Republican watchers in addition to the nonpartisan workers. If you are that concerned about the election, go volunteer. That being said, there's a problem for door-knocking volunteers. The Republicans are starting to realize this in Pennsylvania. I heard the other day that there was a story, I think, in the Atlanta Journal here in Georgia about the Trump ground game in Georgia. They're not really worried about Donald Trump. Actually, no, it was Meredith McGraw. Where is, because I'm quoted in the story. Yeah, let me get you this. Talking about the ground game in Georgia. The Republicans are relying on a vast array. Trump's campaign has created a network of field offices and volunteers across Georgia, but this cycle is leaning on outside groups like America First Works and Turning Point Action to handle much of the canvassing and door knocking. And Trump's team has not yet asked for help from Kemp's Get Out the Vote organization. Got that? Trump's team has not asked Brian Kemp's ground game for help in Georgia. Likewise, according to Donald Trump, his Georgia team is running by a guy named John George, a Republican operative who is new to campaigns in the Peach State. At the opening of a campaign office last month, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported police were called when a fight broke out. The ground game matters, and it turns out that the Kemp campaign is relying on 2,000 captains with what they call Trump Force 47, the campaign's volunteer grassroots network, to target low and mid-propensity voters and drive turnout in the local area. The campaign also has highly targeted lists of voters in Georgia. Notice they haven't asked Brian Kemp to deploy his ground game. But here's a concern. Volunteer door knockers are not as effective as paid door knockers. Why? Because if you're a volunteer, you have to prioritize your income. The Democrats are paying people upwards of $40 an hour in some states to be door knockers, and the Trump campaign has decided to mostly rely on volunteers and third-party groups. That's my biggest concern about 2024 is the ground game. And here in Georgia, a must-win state that I do think Donald Trump is going to win, his campaign is relying on volunteers. Now, that was also the case in Pennsylvania, and I'm led to believe they're making a shift to paid staffers now because they're realizing that the volunteers are not as effective as paid staffers. When it's your job to go knock on doors, you knock on doors. When it is your hobby to knock on doors, you do it when your job is at an end. And that puts you behind. So I'm really concerned about the ground game in these states. I'm also really concerned with the Trump campaign relying on third parties to do the ground game because a third party has its own agenda. It's not fully committed. Now, the upside is if something bad happens, it can make these third party groups fall guys and maybe we get rid of some of the grifters on the right if they're driven out after a loss. At the same time, I don't want a loss. I actually do want to stop Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I'm not convinced that the ground game run by volunteers is the best way to do it. To the extent that super PACs step up and help with paid volunteers, I think it matters more. And that's possible, by the way, that they change. But let me just read you this paragraph again. This is from Politico. A Trump campaign official granted anonymity to discuss campaign operations said the campaign has opened more than 25 offices across Georgia and has held more than 300 events in the state since July 1st. It has also trained over 2,000 captains with Trump Force 47, the campaign's volunteer grassroots network, to target low and mid-propensity voters and drive turnout in their local area. The campaign also has highly targeted lists of voters in Georgia, the office official said, that include data on each voter. We feel well poised to win in Georgia. I think it's time for the armchair quarterbacks to stay home and the players to get on the game. Now, that's a great line, except, you know, I used to do grassroots organizing for political campaigns. I actually know of what I speak. And relying on volunteers instead of paid operatives is actually not as effective. The Democrats in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona and Wisconsin and Nevada are relying on a massive army of paid people through multiple third-party groups. Here's how it works. Planned Parenthood pays $10 an hour. If you hit certain metrics of you've knocked on so many doors, and by the way, how do you know? So every campaign uses an app now tied to someone's cell phone or an iPad, and GPS is turned on. So they can tell where you are, and they can tell that you've actually gone to someone's house because you have to pull up that person's address and show up at their house. And GPS has a perimeter that's not precise, but fairly precise. They can say, yes, you were reasonably at this person's location and reasonably there. We know it takes at least 15 minutes and you were reasonably there for 15 minutes. Therefore, when you say you knocked on that person's door, you probably knocked on that person's door. Therefore, we're going to check the box. Every campaign does it, left, right, and center, Republican and Democrat. They've all got these apps. One of the best ones out there called Campaign Sidekick. I recommend candidates use it when they're running for office. A friend of mine developed it, and I was one of the guys who suggested he develop this app. And it gives you the walk list. It can show me, so you can put in it, say, find all the voters who care about the Second Amendment. And bloop, there it goes. All the voters care about the Second Amendment. And you draw a map. You say, here I am. This is where I am. I'm going to draw a map. I'm going to draw a circle on this map. I want to knock on all the houses, knock on the doors of all the houses in this area, in this circle, who care about the Second Amendment. And then it builds you a walk list, and it prioritizes the pattern that you walk so that you're never crossing back and forth. It's the most efficient way to knock. And so then it says, ah, here's Eric Erickson. He cares about the Second Amendment. I'm going to knock on his door. If I'm not there, they can leave me a little leaflet on the door and check the box. Left a leaflet, wasn't home. Go to the next house. Left a leaflet, wasn't home. Go to the third house. Talked to the homeowner about the Second Amendment. Go to the next house. And you check in. And so if you hit certain metrics, again, the Trump teams relied on volunteers to do this in the heat of the day. The Democrats are relying through multiple third parties to pay operatives to do this. So Planned Parenthood pays $10 an hour. But at Planned Parenthood, the more you knock, the higher your income goes, up to $40 an hour. And so what is Planned Parenthood doing? Planned Parenthood is targeting women who care about abortion. The SEIU, the Service Employees Union, they're targeting teachers. The Teamsters are targeting working class voters. So there is some overlap in that. And you know what? The data shows the more you get contacted by groups, the more likely you are to go vote for their candidate. So they're not all duplicating it. The Planned Parenthood is targeting women who care about abortion, SEIU targeting teachers, the teachers unions targeting teachers, depending on the state, the Teamsters targeting working class voters. And then you've got other groups out there as well. Some target Hispanic voters, some target black voters. And they're targeting these groups, making sure there's not a lot of overlap between them. And they log them all into a database that eventually syncs up for some level of commonality. That is uncoordinated directly with the Harris campaign, but everybody knows what everybody's doing and who's been talked to by which person, and they're all paid. That's not happening on the right. And that should concern everyone who's worried about this campaign. There's got to be a level of third parties paying door knockers. Because the paid person, it's their job. It's what they're going to do. They're tracked with the phone, so you know they're not doing it, or they are doing it. In 2020, in Arizona, a group was paid to go in and knock on doors. They relied on college students. The college students said they were knocking on doors, but their metrics were too good. It was not physically possible for them to knock on all the doors they said they were knocking on. They were doing it too quick over too wide a geography. And one of the people in charge decided to surveil the door knockers through the app. They were logging in that they were knocking on doors. Turns out they were sitting in a bar in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he showed up and fired them. The Democrats, they're using skilled paid people. The Republicans need to be. There's time to get this fixed. Relying on 2,000 volunteers in Georgia and not asking Brian Kemp to fire up his ground game is political malpractice, the likes of which I have not seen in some time. That's just alarming. And folks, I believe Donald Trump will win Georgia. I think Lakin Riley is why Donald Trump will win Georgia. But the ground game needs to be paid and needs to be on fire, and it doesn't appear to be happening. And if it's not happening in a must-win state like Georgia, it makes me question these other must-win states as well.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Listener Bernie out listening KST out in Sacramento, he just emailed me during the break and must be listening on the live stream, says, you believe that Donald Trump is going to win Georgia, yet you just went through a litany of why he's probably not due to his ground game and his failure to engage Kemp. Can you explain why you think he's actually going to win the state? That's a great question. I think Donald Trump is going to win Georgia because an illegal alien led into this country by Joe Biden murdered Lakin Riley. I think Donald Trump is going to win the state of Georgia because of the number of families who have lost children due to fentanyl come across the border due to Joe Biden. I think Donald Trump is going to win the state of Georgia because of the economic problems caused by Joe Biden. I think Donald Trump is going to win Georgia, given the number of parents who do not want boys on their girls' teams in Georgia. And I think Donald Trump is going to win the state of Georgia because economically, as best as Brian Kemp and the Republicans in Georgia have been able to pull the state forward, at the end of the day, the governor and the legislature in Georgia are not responsible for people's 401ks. They're not responsible for people's savings, and people see that their 401ks are unstable despite a roaring stock market. Their gas prices are up because of Joe Biden. Their grocery prices are up because of Joe Biden, and they blame Joe Biden for that stuff. And Kamala Harris was Joe Biden's point person on so many of these things, from the border czar to even embracing Bidenomics. I absolutely think that Donald Trump can and should win the state of Georgia, whether his ground game is firing all cylinders or not. I think that voters are going to show up on Election Day in Georgia, and I think those voters are going to vote for Donald Trump in Georgia. Now, is that the same in Michigan? They've got a massive Democratic army in Michigan in a way they don't have in Georgia. You could outnumber the Republicans in Michigan just through the ground game operation there. I don't think you can do that in Georgia. So, yeah, I think that Trump wins Georgia. I'm not sure about the others. I do kind of think he wins Nevada as well. But that's the way I see the landscape working, and Georgia gives him 16 Electoral College votes. Now, one of the groups that's actually doing great door knocking out there is Americans for Prosperity. They use paid staffers, unlike a lot of these other groups. Not only do they use paid staffers, though, they supplement with volunteers, and you can be one. They've got chapters in almost every state. They teach you to be an effective organizer. They teach you to be an effective activist. They give you the issues, and they educate you on the issues. All you have to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org. AmericansForProsperity.org. You go to Americans for Prosperity and you can find out all the facts about, for example, the border situation and the policies that alleviate the concerns. Find out about the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts that expire next year and the Democratic plans, what happens when those expire. You'll be able to find out so much about policy. You'll be the smartest person in your circle of friends. They'll also teach you how to go to your local government or your state government and advocate for common sense conservative solutions, and how to knock on the doors of your neighbors and be an effective advocate. AmericansForProsperity.org. It's the leading, largest grassroots group in the nation. They happen to be on the right. They're on the side of free markets, free people, and common sense conservative reform. You should sign up with them at AmericansForProsperity.org.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I am delighted to have you with me. Oh. Where is this? Okay. Was called Argo. Yes, that's what I said. Okay. I'm sorry. Reading from a listener who might have misheard something I said. Can we talk about Project 2025 for a minute? I've tried to avoid it. I have tried to avoid it. I wish I had, it's on my bookshelf at home. In 2000, George W. Bush actually published, it was two volumes of his plans for the country. And you could read the plans, digest the plans, understand the plans, and whether you liked it or not, there they were. Kamala Harris, to this day, has no policy positions on her website. Donald Trump has policy positions. But what the Democrats have tried to do is they've tried to tie Project 2025 to Donald Trump and say these are his actual plans. The problem is it's not true. The problem is also that the Democrats don't care about the truth. They care about scaring people. The reality is there's no way that Donald Trump would embrace Project 2025 as it exists because it's too specific. Project 2025 is, yes, a lot of people who worked for Donald Trump, just like some of these people also work for George W. Bush, they get together and they produce this academic wonkery. And essentially, it's if a Republican president comes in and has a Congress that'll do business with him, here are all the plans in place, legislation written that you could get passed. What these outside groups did is they tried to sell this to donors as this is what Donald Trump's going to get done, help us advance Donald Trump's mission, give us money. And they dropped Donald Trump's name a lot. So now the left is using all those quotes. And a lot of people who are tied to Donald Trump who participated say, see, this is really Donald Trump's plan. Project 2025, that's really Donald Trump's plan. Now, one of the side things here, and I do mean this to be insulting, is a lot of these progressives who think they're independent thinkers, they're really just part of the herd. They're not very thoughtful people. Look how many of them have glommed on to the use of the word joy because Kamala Harris told them to. Or have glommed on to the attacks on Project 2025 as something about Donald Trump because the left told them to. These are people who think they're smart and independent thinkers, and they are a bunch of freaking lemmings. The reality is that Donald Trump has distanced himself from 2025, has attacked Project 2025, and thinks parts of it is ridiculous. And in the run-up to this coming to a head, you had the Trump campaign demanding these groups stop trying to tie it to Donald Trump because Donald Trump has his own plan. Donald Trump's plan is, what is it, Agenda 47? He'd be the 45th president? He would be the 47th president. And so he calls it Agenda 47. It is an abbreviated plan without all these details from Project 2025, but it doesn't matter. Project 2025 is not going to cost Donald Trump the election. The left is trying to make a big deal about Project 2025, but here's the thing. They're doing it in distraction of something more significant. Kamala Harris is the Harris in the Biden-Harris administration. The media and the left are doing more to tie Donald Trump to a Project 2025 plan he has specifically in public rejected than they are trying to tie Kamala Harris to being the Harris in the Biden-Harris administration. They would prefer to talk about Project 2025, because they can't talk about Kamala Harris's record as the border czar. In fact, they got to lie and say she never was the border czar after for 3 years telling us she was. They would prefer to talk about Project 2025 instead of talking about Kamala Harris's failures on her economic record and vision for America. They would prefer to talk about Project 2025 than about Kamala Harris bailing people out of jail so they could burn down Minnesota. They would prefer to talk about Project 2025 than to ignore Kamala Harris being the person in charge of the National Space Program with two astronauts stuck in space and no way to get home. They would prefer to talk about Project 2025 than talk about Kamala Harris's record. And the Democrats and the progressive activists out there who are talking about Project 2025 are trying to get you to focus on defense instead of on offense. They want to talk about a plan Donald Trump specifically denounced instead of talking about something Kamala Harris has never denounced. That's what's going on here. And what's amazing is how many people on the right who can lecture the rest of us for a one thing or another, not being sufficiently loyal, who are screaming about this being tied to Project 2025 and can't focus on the fact that this is all a distraction. Now, part of this Project 2025 stuff is the Heritage Foundation always produces a plan for incoming political administrations saying, here are public policy positions you could advocate for and take and advance. They do this every time. They do it for Democratic presidential administrations and they do it for Republican presidential administrations. They know that no Democrat is going to embrace it. But what the Heritage Foundation does every 4 years is they produce a plan and says, here are the best policy ideas to advance America. They've now worked with these other groups out there to put together this Project 2025. Donald Trump has rejected it in favor of his own plan. Y'all, I got an email the other day from a friend of mine who was on the Republican Platform Committee. He acknowledged that it is not a perfect platform. As Mike Pence noted on stage with me at the gathering 2 weekends ago, they rejected the 50-year position of the Republican Party on life. But the individual who emailed me says Donald Trump personally marked up the platform. That's why it's short. That's why there are parts of it in all caps. It is Donald Trump's plan for America. It has nothing to do with Project 2025. When you bring this up, of course, left says, well, why are you so defensive? Well, I kind of wish you guys would tell the truth. The truth is, the economy matters. Project 2025 does not. And everybody screaming about Project 2025 is trying to get you distracted from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and their agenda. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have not done well for the economy. John King went to Iowa, which is no longer really a swing state, but he interviewed some voters. Listen to one of these voters.
Mudd thinks the media is too easy on Harris. And like Trump, he sees no way Harris wins an honest election.
I just don't believe it's possible, John. I really don't. Yes, I would think that. And I would think many like me would think that same thing. If Kamala Harris gets 81 million votes, something really went haywire.
If she gets 81 million votes, it's probably more rejected of her opponent than anything else. But I don't know that she's going to get them. Listen, the Democrats have a jubilation right now because they're united again. But I think it wears off the more people get to know Kamala Harris. I think the more it wears off. And then, of course, you've got the economy. As I mentioned earlier in the program, Alston Goolsbee, he's not sure the Fed's going to cut rates. This is him on Face the Nation.
Barron's had a piece yesterday saying that the most consequential event this fall won't be the U.S. election. It won't be a war in the Middle East. It will be the Federal Reserve's decision in September to lower interest rates for the first time in more than 4 years. Is that a certainty? Do you think it is time to lower rates?
Oh, I don't think it's a certainty, and I don't like, as you know, tying our hands ahead of time when we got a lot of data to come in and everyone on the committee is going to get to speak their piece, and it's a committee decision. We try as the Fed to make clear what our reaction function is, if you want to call it that. I invite everybody to go read the Statement of Economic Projections, which in our world, colloquially, we call the dot plot, where we outline every quarter what do the members of the committee individually think will be the appropriate policy for each of the next 3 years, and what economic conditions do they expect to correspond with those. And we've been making clear for quite a while what economic conditions would be appropriate for us to cut rates, for us to hold rates where they are, and things like that. And I do think that we set an interest rate more than a year ago at a high level because we were fighting inflation. And the economic conditions today are very different than they were when we set the rate at this level.
Yeah. Are they actually going to raise rates or lower rates? The odds, of course, are yes, they are. But the question as well is, if they do lower them, how much are they going to lower them? And again, it's actually no sure thing that they're going to lower rates. My guess is that they do. The problem here is that even if they do, it's not going to transition into the economy very quickly. And the underlying issues are going to remain. And with those underlying issues, the American public is going to blame Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, because it's the Biden-Harris administration that's done this. It's the Biden-Harris administration, and Kamala Harris was the tie-breaking vote on the Inflation Reduction Act that was just a Green New Deal. Those issues matter, y'all. Project 2025 is something the left tells themselves. It's not something that really soaks into the zeitgeist for most people. Most people, when you bring up Project 2025, you just point out Donald Trump has said it's not his plan and he's produced his own plan. And yes, those people were tied to Donald Trump. Some of them worked for him, but Kamala Harris worked for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's economic vision is Kamala Harris's economic vision. Would you rather Joe Biden's economic vision continue, or would you rather us to have a fresh start? At the end of the day, every minute spent trying to defend Project 2025 or explain, you just need to deflect and say, look, I'm not going to correct your thinking, even though you're wrong on Project 2025, but you can't deny that Kamala Harris is part of the Biden-Harris administration. Do you want Joe Biden's economic policies to continue, or do you want Donald Trump to come back and fix the economy and put it back the way it was when he was president? Because a majority of Americans say they would prefer Donald Trump's policies than Kamala Harris's policies. A majority of Americans, not a plurality, a majority, over 50%. So I would not be freaked out about Project 2025. Again, the very press that's working so hard to tie Donald Trump to Project 2025 is working very hard to avoid tying Kamala Harris to Kamala Harris's own agenda in the Biden-Harris administration. Now, I want to tie myself to Vision Computers, because I am so happy with our computer from Vision Computers, and you'll be happy if you get one from them as well. If you need to buy a computer, build a computer, Vision Computers can take care of you. They'll give you a great, great deal. More than that, though, let me talk to you if you're a small business and you can't afford the $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year salary for an in-house IT guy. For $179 a year per computer, Vision Computers can be your IT solution. So your employees do not have to be geniuses at their computer. They can be geniuses at their job. When they run into a computer problem, they get a special phone number. They call Vision 15 seconds or less. They get a fix for their issue. Vision takes over that responsibility. It saves you salary on the in-house IT guy. It saves your employees downtime. It gets them more productive. All you have to do is call them at 404-COMPUTE, 404-COMPUTE, or go to visioncomputers.com. If you call them at 404-COMPUTE, tell them I sent you. You're going to get an even better deal. 404-COMPUTE or visioncomputers.com. Vision Computers can be your in-house tech support solution for your employees or for your family. If you buy a computer, now here's the thing. If you buy computers from Vision, let's say your company needs new computers, buy them from Vision. The tech support comes with the computer, no additional charge. They save you money. They get you up and running. They make you proficient. They make you productive. If you don't have a computer from them, it's just $179 a year. Call them at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them Eric sent you. You get an even better deal.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is, well, you can figure it out yourself, because there's just not enough time for you to even call at this point. I want to go back to what I started this hour with, and that is the Electoral College. Because if you look at the polling out there right now, and again, the individual polling, not good. Individual polling varies. One of the great things to do is to just look at a poll average, like the Real Clear Politics polling average, which right now When you, it's got Rasmussen has Trump up 4, Fox has him up 1. The Fox poll is decidedly shifted towards Harris from where it was. Rasmussen, I never pay attention to Rasmussen, to be honest with you, but it all works out in the average. And there's been a clear trend towards Kamala Harris, 1.4% nationwide. But keep in mind, with the Electoral College the way it is, you tend to need the Democrats need to be up 4 nationally, because the national polling doesn't exclude New York and California and places like this. So you've got to have a big nationwide sample that has the Democrats up about 4. So at a 1.4% advantage for Harris, this is Donald Trump's race to lose real quick still. So I wouldn't panic about it. And when you look at the polling averages, Arizona, Donald Trump is still up. Nevada, Donald Trump is up. Wisconsin, Harris is up. Michigan, Harris is up. Pennsylvania, Donald Trump is up. North Carolina, Donald Trump is up. Georgia, Donald Trump is up. You know what that means for the Real Clear Politics average? If the election were held today, Donald Trump would be at 287 Electoral College votes, and he would win. So this panic that set in among the party, this panic that set in among older voters that we're going to lose the country, you got to fall in line. One, that's no way to sell your candidate. Lecturing others that they need to toe a party line is, you know, we talk about communism there. There's your communism on the right, towing this propagandistic line that you would expect from the Soviets. But I would tell you the message for Trump and his supporters has got to be forget Project 2025. You don't even need to defend it. The question for this election is, do you want 4 more years of the Biden-Harris policies? I think one of the chief selling points for Donald Trump is that he's got private sector experience. Neither Kamala Harris nor Tim Walz nor Joe Biden does. We are currently being governed by people who don't know what it's like to work in the real world. They've only worked in the government and nonprofits. Donald Trump built a business in the private sector. He's got some of the best golf courses in the world. My favorite hotel is Trump Hotel Chicago. Y'all, if you've never stayed at the Trump Hotel Chicago, hands down, my favorite hotel. It's incredible. I love going to Chicago and staying at that hotel. It's a great location, too. Going to be interesting to see, are the Democrats staying at the Trump Hotel in Chicago? Which Democratic delegation is? You know, Eric Trump had projected on, or somebody had projected, maybe it wasn't the Trump people, maybe it was protesters, Project 2025 headquarters, which I found hilarious. It's going to be funny to see if there are actually Democratic delegations, because it's a fantastic hotel in Chicago. Probably I've stayed at the Peninsula there, and I like the Trump Hotel the best. But Donald Trump has built a private sector business. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz have been on the government dole their entire professional careers, just like Joe Biden. And I think there's a compelling message there for Americans. You want the private sector to work again. You need someone who's worked in the private sector. The economy continues to be the message. All of the angry stuff that comes from Trump supporters right now is not helping Donald Trump. Donald Trump calling Kamala Harris ugly is not helping Donald Trump. The message is very simple. Do you want 4 more years of Kamala Harris's agenda, or do you want to go back to the days where America's economy functioned 4 years earlier when Donald Trump was president? It's the economy. Do you want secure borders? Donald Trump will secure the borders. There's a winning message there. You just got to focus. Less than 80 days to go, folks.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.